Hello, I'm Naomi.
And I'm Finley. And welcome to another episode of HairyCast here at BHVC Primary.
Today, it is our privilege to welcome to the studio the Archdeacon of the Gwent Valleys and Director of Mission, the Venerable Stella Bailey.
Good morning and thank you for joining us today.
Baroda, thank you for having me.
Firstly, can you explain to us what your job role is?
My job role? So I have the fancy title of the Archdeacon of the Gwent Valleys and the Director of Mission. So my job's about helping the churches in the local area and across our Diocese of Monmouth to be the best churches that they can, to have this sense of being together as one family, so they don't just all go off and do what they want individually, but they're part of one family. So I do a bit of making sure that they follow the rules and to be the best that they could be.
How long have you been an archdeacon?
Oh, so I've been an archdeacon for 18 months. Before that, I was in England in parish ministry. So I've been ordained as a priest for 15 years now. So I've done parish ministry and then I came to Wales to be an archdeacon.
Can you explain how you first got involved with the church?
Oh, wow. I must have been your age when I first got involved in the church. And I'll be honest. So my parents worked long hours during the week. And so on a weekend, they would have a lie-in. But I don't know about you, but when I was your age, I used to wake up early. And my parents would still be in bed and I was wide awake. And so one day while they were still in bed and on a Sunday, I decided to go to church. And I just walked into the building one day. And for a whole host of different reasons, since that day, I found a nice welcoming family and group of people who loved me and supported me and encouraged me to be involved in different things. So then I got involved in lots of different things, choirs, bell ringing, all different sorts. And so that's what then kept me in the church since.
Why did you choose a path within the church?
Well, the simplest answer is God. So I found in the stories of God and in my relationship with God a love and encouragement to be the person who I am, who God created me to be, and always encouraging me to be the best person that God created me to be. So, and so as I grew up, when I was in my teenage years, I realised the good that the church could do in encouraging other people to be the best that they could be in living out their Christian faith. And I think when you know God, when you have God in your life, you find a comfort and love and acceptance that I think sometimes the world doesn't let you have. And I'd love to share that with as many other people as possible. And I found that the best way to do that in an authentic way, in a way that's truly me, was to be part of the church structures.
What links do you have with our school?
So I am one of the school governors. Most specifically, because this is a church school, some of the school governors are people who are connected with the church. So the main hat that I wear in the governing body is to make sure that the school has what we call a Christian ethos. So underpinning all its policies and processes and practices and how they build relationships across the community and with the children and teachers, whether there's the underlying message of God within that. Are they acting out the love of God? Are they being forgiving? Are they being generous in the way in which the church has its feeling, the way in which it has relationships?
What is your favourite part about your job role?
Oh, do you know what? I love things like this. So I love the opportunity to tell people about God. It makes my heart sing. And my favourite moment actually is not so much when I get to do it. It's when I've encouraged and taught other people how to do it and that they then do it. So one of my favourite moments in my parish ministry was when one of my congregation came to me and she said, "Stella, can I introduce you to my neighbour? She's come to church for the first time today." And that made my heart sing because it meant that, you know, that lady who had been part of my congregation, she also wanted to share her faith and her love with people that she knew. So that's my favourite bit of my job when other people do it, not necessarily when I do it.
Within your role as Archdeacon, is there anything you would like to change?
Yes. I end up in too many meetings about buildings. And so buildings are important. Buildings, they carry our story. They're the places that are part of our family journey. So there might be buildings, you know, churches where your family has had baptisms and weddings and funerals, and they hold those important life moments. But buildings are also, they take a lot to keep them going. They're beautiful, they look amazing, and they're a presence of God's glory in the area. But they take a lot of maintaining and keeping standing up. And so I end up in too many meetings about buildings, sadly.
What does a typical day look like for you?
I don't have a typical day. And that's one of the things I love about my job, is that every single day is different. And I have to look in my diary and work out what I'm doing. So some days there might just be a few things in my diary. And then there's other days like today where I left the house at 8:30 this morning and I actually won't be back home until about 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight. But it always involves prayer. So for me to be a good priest, for me to be a good archdeacon, it's important that I look after my relationship with God. And so there'll always be a time when I'm spending in prayer. It often involves meetings with other people to work out how are we going to use God's resources best? How are we going to direct our energies and our money in the best way to live out God's love? And it often involves having good conversations with people. So I have to make sure that our clergy are looked after and that their well-being is cared for. So I have a lot of conversations with our clergy, supporting them, helping them if they need, you know, if they're struggling in any way. So it often involves those sort of conversations as well.
How do you share parables from the Bible to young people?
Well, we in assembly this morning, we heard a parable. And parables were stories that Jesus used to try and explain something, to help people understand something better. So we use stories all the time. Disney movies, they're stories and often have an underlying meaning, don't they, about what it is to be a good person to other people. And so parables was Jesus's way of helping people take his teaching and apply it to their life. So all of the examples that he used were known examples to his time. So for instance, do you know the story of the Good Samaritan? Yes, you're both nodding. Brilliant. So the story of the Good Samaritan was about a person who got beaten up and injured and left on the side of the road. And all the people you would expect to help that person just walked past. But then this chap who was being labelled the Good Samaritan, he stopped and helped the injured person. Now, to us, that we might know what a priest is and we'd expect them to have helped the person. But for us to fully understand that story, we might use different terms instead. So think of the people who you would expect to be good, you would expect to respond in a good way, who just walked by. And that might be a priest, it might be a doctor, it might be a teacher. The people you might think would help, they walked on by. But I'm wondering who might be the Samaritan in this day and age. Who are the people that you think we wouldn't expect to help? Is there anyone that you can think of?
Gang members.
Gang members, yeah. So somebody with lots of tattoos and a skinhead, hood up, with his little mask on, a gang member. Imagine if you saw them helping someone. You might initially think that they're going to hurt them and rob them even more, mightn't you? But instead, they help them. So if I was to be telling a parable in this day and age, I'd be wanting to use similar examples, but ones that you recognise and you would immediately go, oh yeah, I wouldn't have expected that person to do that. And then you would understand the story better.
What would you do as a job if you couldn't be part of the church?
That's a difficult question, because I can't imagine the church not being there. Or more to the point, if the church isn't there, then it means that God's teaching isn't there. And I've found often in life my faith has directed how I am. So before being ordained as a priest in the church, which, as I said, was only 15 years ago, before that I was a police officer. But the reason why I was a police officer was some of the values that my faith has given me, that need to love and nurture and care for people and help them when they're in difficulty, to be that good Samaritan. So I suppose my natural instinct would be a job that was helping and supporting someone. Maybe I'd still be a police officer. I enjoyed it. But it's a difficult question, because it's about what is it that drives my motivation? What is it that's underlying my life, the way I see the world and my life and the way in which I interact with the world?
How have you enjoyed your visit to BHVC Primary today and leading the Eucharist this morning?
I had a lovely time. Do you know what? Your singing was outstanding. It was brilliant to sing with you and to praise God with you, because it was really encouraging. And everyone behaved really well. And it's lovely to walk around the school. It's a lovely feel, isn't it? It's a real family together that's loving and nurturing each other. And so I've really enjoyed my visit. So thank you for having me.
We really appreciate you taking the time to come and speak to us today. It's been really interesting to learn about your role within the church and the work you do as an archdeacon.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for now. We'll be back with another episode of HairyCast soon. Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.